You'll turn in God's Word to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. As a congregation, we had the joy of coming together around the Lord's table this morning. And for our Thanksgiving service after our communion, we often take a passage and seek to apply it to us concerning our response to what Jesus has done. So tonight we're not just giving thanks to God for all that he's done for us, but we're looking to God's word to teach us how to respond to that great salvation, how to live lives that are obedient to the call that we've received in Jesus Christ, to the grace of God. It's hard to get a clearer passage than John 13. When we think about how do we respond to the things that Jesus has done for us. Because here in John 13, Jesus tells us how we are to respond. He makes it clear. He says to his disciples, "Just as I have washed your feet, so you are to wash the feet of one another." Now, this episode in John's Gospel is a fairly well-known event, this gracious act of Jesus. Before he then calls on them to respond by washing one another's feet, telling them to go and do likewise. And over our communion season, we've been looking at this event from the perspective of what Jesus knew and those whom he loved. For the benefit of those visiting with us or those who've perhaps forgotten what we've been looking at, in verse 3, we're told that Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he would do. He knew those for whom he would do it. Here is the glorious Son of God, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and yet even knowing who he was, he rose from supper, removed his outer garments, tied a towel round his waist, washed his disciples' feet. Knowing his eternal glory, and knowing that he was going to go and suffer, Jesus humbly took the form of a servant. This morning we looked at those that Jesus loved. And here we see that Jesus loves his own. Love is the motivating factor that brings Jesus to this wonderful event, to this humbling event. And ultimately, of course, it points us to the cross. Love is the motivating factor that compels Jesus to go to the cross for us, to humble himself, lower himself, and become obedient to death, even death on the cross. It's love that brought Jesus to say, "It is finished." And it's that love that has made us clean. Jesus' perfect love and purifying love. And these were the thoughts that we had in mind as we came to the table this morning. Tonight, as we think of our response, I want us to take the words of verse 14. "You also ought to wash one another's feet." Here we have what Jesus tells us to do. Here's the response that we are to make in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us in loving us, in humbling himself for us, in making us clean. In light of all of this, wash one another's feet. Humble, sacrificial serving of one another. That is the appropriate response to what Christ Jesus has done for us. We see here, firstly, the pattern set for us. The pattern set for us. Jesus says in verse 15, after giving this command, "You ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example." We're to wash one another's feet because it's the example that Christ Jesus has set. Now, there is a practice today in the wider church and in other places where the washing of feet takes place. We don't have it here. We don't have the elders outside with basins of water and you come in and take off your shoes. We could do that. There'd be nothing wrong with that. And things like that happen in the wider church and in other places. One of the other places, the Roman Catholic organization, that system, on the Thursday of Easter week, the Pope and other leading priests will wash the feet of 12 other priests who are lower than them. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But as a ritual, and if the elders were to do it here, it's not getting to the depths of what Jesus is calling on his disciples to do. Jesus, the Lord of glory, the one with all power and authority, he places himself at the lowest standing. He takes the place of the lowliest, most insignificant slave, and he washes his disciples' feet. That the depths that Jesus stoops to, it's beyond Peter's grasp here. That's why he blurts out, "You'll not wash my feet. You're too good for that." Jesus' example is, of course, a picture of what he would do later, going to the cross, lowering himself, suffering and dying for our sin. The disciples, Jesus says, "You're not going to understand this now. You won't grasp this now, but you will do so later." In verses 7 to 11, Jesus is really telling them that this is a picture of what I'm going to be doing, and you're not going to grasp that reality until after the event. However, when we come to verses 12 to 20, we find Jesus has changed from telling them that it's a picture that they won't grasp just yet, to saying to them, "This is an example. I want you to lower yourselves for one another. I want you to humble yourselves before one another." The disciples aren't being called to go to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of one another, but rather Jesus is saying it's also an example where you are to show a humble, sacrificial love for one another. I've set the pattern for you. I've given you the example. Look at how this example stands out for us in these verses. Jesus says in verse 12 and 13, "I'm both teacher and Lord. This is who I am. I am the great one, the mighty one, and yet I have humbled myself for you. If I then," verse 14, "your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet," here's the example. "I've lowered myself for you. I want you to lower yourself for one another. I've made myself nothing for you, so make yourself nothing for one another." Jesus is using the argument from the greater to the lesser. If I have done this, then so must you. What an example. What a pattern. Paul would later take this example and use it in his letter to the Philippians when he tells them to have this mind amongst themselves, which is theirs in Christ Jesus, to be like Christ, humble themselves, lower themselves, think greater of one another than you do of yourself. Jesus has set the pattern. And so his followers, his people, his bride, the church, were to follow that example. We're to humble ourselves, lower ourselves for one another. I want you to notice as well here that Jesus washed Judas's feet. Judas, who would later betray him, Jesus showed him love. That is, Jesus was ready to serve without discriminating, even knowing Judas's heart. I wonder what it was like. We'll never know what it was like for Jesus to do this. Knowing that Satan had put it into Judas's heart and that Judas had agreed to betray him, knowing that here is the one who was going to hand him over, Judas, who really hated Jesus, And Jesus washes his feet. He didn't discriminate here. He didn't leave Judas out in this serving, the example that he set for his followers. Because Jesus has done this, we should be prepared to lower ourselves for one another, to meet the needs of one another, to serve one another. It's the pattern that Jesus Christ has set. We should be prepared to take on the task that no one else might want to do, the task that comes with no commendation, the work that's unseen, being ready and willing to serve one another, even when it means that we're going to be lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves. What's for the good of the church? What's for the good of one another? How can we love one another and love the church here? It's something as simple as being on the church cleaning rota. None of us should ever say, well, I'm too good for that. No, we're not. You know, Jesus humbled himself. When the deacons organize a church tidy up, nobody should say, oh, well, that's not for me. That's a little bit below me. That's for those other servants. Well, that's not the example that Jesus set. When it comes to drawing alongside one another, helping one another, encouraging one another, serving one another, loving one another. And we do so without discriminating. We serve not asking if the hearts of those that we are serving are right and proper, if they're faithful. But we follow the pattern that Jesus Christ has set because he lowered himself for us. He made himself nothing for us. We're to look to Jesus Christ who set the example. Ultimately, it was Jesus Christ going to the cross. And that's what brings salvation. And Jesus says to the disciples, that's what it's a picture of. You haven't grasped this yet, but you will after the fact. And we are after the cross, so we can look back and see it here. But then he's also saying it, but it's also a pattern for you. It's an example. Because of what I have done for you, here's the example to follow. Lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves, serving one another. Not thinking we are greater than the other. Making ourselves nothing for one another. It isn't just an example or a pattern. But secondly, we see here, it's also a command. A command. So we have the command given to us. The command given to us. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This ought is a command, a duty that's given to us by our Lord and Savior. Because of Christ's love, we aren't just given the example, but it's a responsibility that falls upon us. We are his dearly loved people, and therefore we are called on to love one another and to serve one another. We'll, God willing, be taking a series through John's letters later on in the year. And as we read through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we're going to be struck, well, hopefully we should be struck, if I'm preaching it right, on how much the love of God in Christ Jesus impacted John's teaching to the church. He frequently reminds the church of the love of God that has called us to be children of God. And he frequently reminds them that the response that we are to have is a love and a responsibility to love one another. A duty to love one another. One of the marks of being a child of God is that we love to do what he calls us to do. We love to do what he commands us to do. And he commands us, he calls on us to love just as he has loved us. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You see, we have graciously been called into his family. And as his children, we now have responsibilities and duties as his people. That's part of belonging. It's part of being in church membership. We should be, and we're expected to be, we're called to be, commanded to be, those who seek the opportunities to serve one another. Serving in such a way that we're willing to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Serving in such a way that we're willing to take on duties that perhaps no one else would want to do. Serving in such a way that we're prepared and ready to do what needs done without seeking approval or thanks. Serving in such a way that we can show love to each other without expecting anything back in return. It's a responsibility. It's a command. You ought to wash one another's feet. All because Jesus Christ has loved us. All because he gave himself for us. There shouldn't be anything within the life of the church, within serving one another, where we'd ever be tempted to say, I think that's maybe below me. Well, I shouldn't have to do that. That's maybe for someone else to do. No, we should be ready to rise, to take off the outer garment, to tie a towel around our waist, to wash one another's feet. I should say at this point that we are thankful that within our church family, we have many who do this. Those who, out of love for Jesus Christ and out of love for one another, serve with humility. They serve with no expectation of reward in this life. There are many within our congregation who show this humble, sacrificial serving, and for that, we are thankful to God in his grace and his mercy. I'm also aware that it's often the case that those who are most faithful often feel that they're the ones who fail the most in these areas. And so I'm conscious that as I preach this sermon, those who have been ever so faithful in this feel guilty. They feel as though they're not doing enough. But to encourage you, we do fail in this area, all of us. But we are thankful to God that in many ways, many in the congregation are faithful and serve sacrificially and humbly the way Christ commands us to serve. We're all to do that more and more as we remind ourselves what Jesus Christ has done for us, as we remind ourselves of his humble serving, his lowering of himself. We should love one another, serve one another, wash one another's feet, meet the needs of one another where we can. He set the pattern for us. He commands us. And then lastly this evening, we have the blessings of serving. The blessings of serving. I said we don't serve with the expectation of a reward in this life. But look at what Jesus does say in verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There is great blessing that comes from serving. Some of these blessings we get to experience here and now. As we serve in this humble, sacrificial way, we will continue to know unity and peace and love. We will be strengthened. We will be built up. And this is because we're going to be seeking the good of one another before ourselves. And when we do that, there's no room for pride. There's no room for boasting. There's no room for envy, no room for anger, no room for a sense of superiority. But rather, we're going to be considering one another greater than ourselves. We'll be having the mind of Christ. We'll be seeking the good and the benefit of the church. We will love to serve one another. We'll delight in being able to provide for one another. We'll be reflecting Christ to one another. And so there will be peace and unity when we're putting one another before ourselves and serving one another. And there'll be a reflecting of Christ that will cause us to grow spiritually. These are some of the temporal blessings that we will know as we do these things. How many times have we perhaps been dithering between doing what must be done and seeking our own comfort? But then we do what must be done. We go along to the service because we know that being together, this is an act of washing one another's feet. Coming out to worship together. Because in doing so, you're loving one another and you're seeking the good of one another. This is part of it. Or going along to a church cleanup. Or volunteering to help when help is needed within CY. Or helping to serve tea. Or whatever it might be. Joining the church cleaning Ruta. Any of those things. A multitude of things. And sometimes when we're dithering. This is the point I'm trying to make. Sometimes when we're dithering between doing those things or seeking our own comfort, and we end up doing the right thing, we say, I'm so glad I did. I was more blessed in doing that than I would have been just sitting at home by myself with my feet up and a cup of tea or whatever. I'm so glad that I did that thing, that I served in that way. And then perhaps we feel guilty that we were dithering between the two, and our guilt overwhelms us a bit. And that's maybe a good thing at times. But the serving brings blessing. We have tried and proved this statement of Jesus Christ. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There's blessing. And blessing in the here and now when we are serving like Christ calls us to serve, like Christ himself served. And of course, the greatest reward, the greatest blessing, it lies ahead. That future reward that is ours in Jesus Christ. Blessed are you if you do these things. Because there will come a day when we will hear our Master say, well done, good and faithful servant. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? The answer is the one who is lowest, the most humble, the servants. Often unnoticed, giving themselves out of love for Christ and knowing that he has loved them and given himself for them, and so they serve with a whole heart. Those who seek no thanks or adulation or even an acknowledgement for the things that they do. They simply rise, take off their outer garment, they tie a towel around their waist, and they get stuck in. They serve where the need is. Jesus says they are the greatest in the kingdom. Growing up in my home congregation, this was impressed on me often at church events and holiday Bible club, where there was a group of elderly ladies who would never have been up at the front, never put themselves forward, but at every event they were there, brushing up, hoovering, whatever needed done. They didn't have to be there, but whatever they wanted to do, whatever they could do, just to serve, just to show love, to support the church, to give themselves. And if you thank them for it, they were just so embarrassed and they felt, well, we're hardly doing anything. But surely it's those who are the greatest in the kingdom. who humbly give themselves, sacrificially give themselves for the work of Christ's church, for the good of the church, for the benefit of the church, for the peace of the church. They will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And this is the great blessing, the great reward that lies in store. Our eternal reward as we look to Jesus Christ, hearing him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In verse 16, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." The truly, truly is Jesus saying, listen and pay attention to this. You're not greater than me. You're the servants. I am teacher and Lord. But consider what I have done for you. And Jesus has lowered himself lower than we could ever fully grasp. He stooped so low that he was willing to go to the cross and suffer and die for us. Therefore, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, let us love one another, wash one another's feet. Jesus, knowing who he was, that he was sent from God and returning to God, he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end with that perfect love. So he rose from supper, he removed his outer garments, he washed his disciples' feet. He gave them a picture of what he would ultimately do for them on the cross. Humble, sacrificial act of love that's brought us cleansing and salvation. But now we also seek to follow his example and to obey his command, to love and serve one another. And in doing so, there is great reward. There is blessing for all who are his. Blessed are you if you know these things and you do them. Amen.